Let us pray. Lord God, we give you thanks. We give you praise. We thank you that you are here with us tonight, that you love us, and that you are utterly faithful. And so we invite you into this service, into our hearts and our minds. Lord, let us settle and let us hear what you would say to this body, this people. In the name of Jesus Christ, and everyone said, amen. Please be seated. I'm used to saying good morning. It's good morning somewhere. But good evening. Good to see you on this Thanksgiving Eve. And all, folks, I was thinking as the singing was going on, I'm in my 50th year of walking with Jesus. Okay? I know. I must have been 6 months old because I know I look young. But all seriousness aside, God is the most faithful one I know. And it just brings me to tears. And folks, for folks that might be visiting who might hear this message that don't know me, I'm one of the pastors here, Rob Mathis. That's really superfluous. But I want to say that we don't speak about something we don't know about. I'm speaking from the heart, and it brings me to tears at what God is about in the world and what God is about in each one of us, even when we don't see it or know it. He loves us right where we are, no matter what road we might have gone down, what mistakes we might have made. It literally brings a tear to my eyes. I am going to read from the book of John, the 12th chapter. This is the gospel written by the apostle John, 12th chapter, 12 to 19. And I'm going to read it off of here because last Sunday, somebody got things confused and we were reading at King James or King Jimmy or something. I don't know. So whatever's up there, it may match, it may not. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him. And they were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Now Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him. Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had performed this sign, went out to meet him. And so the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." In the brief time that we have tonight, I want to look at this passage in order to gain some clarity, some understanding, not only about the people's reactions that day as Jesus made his way into Jerusalem riding on a donkey, but tonight we can also take a look at our own responses to Jesus, with an eye for how we would like to show our gratefulness and our gratitude to him, and to look at where we are with Jesus. So right after the sermon, I will be asking folks, inviting folks to share their heart, their gratefulness, what God has done in their lives. So when we look what's happening in this passage, keep some things in mind. This is the Passover. It is the holiest time of the year for the Jewish people, regardless of where they came from, what their station in life is. And as referenced, Jesus had just recently raised his friend Lazarus from the dead. Oh, 4 days in the tomb dead. It wasn't like he bumped his head and kind of went out for a minute. He was stinky dead. And this was an incredible display of his lordship, even over death. And Jerusalem at this time, during this holy time, is filled beyond imagining. There are literally hundreds of thousands of people in Jerusalem. And the thing that they're looking at and talking about and that is getting spread all around is this miracle and other miracles that Jesus did. And so they wanted to see Jesus for what reason? Some came to see more exciting miracles. Some probably needed a miracle themselves. Everywhere that Jesus went, people wanted to be touched and healed. Some came with pure hearts, not understanding what was going on, but still, like Mary Magdalene, just at his feet, they knew he was the Christ. And others, especially the Jewish leaders, loathed this man, hated him. Can you feel that? If you know Jesus, it's hard to comprehend, but they wanted to kill him. As Jesus came riding into Jerusalem, there was a great mix of views and opinions, but no doubt many of the people were crying, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Hosanna itself is a term of praise, and it is a cry of these people to Jesus. Save us, is essentially what they're saying. It is a direct reference to Psalm 118, which, go back and read, by the way. There's a lot of stuff in there about Jesus and foretelling Jesus. So picture the scene. Myriads of people lining the roadway, coming down from the Mount of Olives into Jerusalem. I mean, masses of people. And people are taking their cloaks and putting them, some on the donkey that Jesus is getting up on before he gets up on it, and putting it out in front of him. Have you ever seen that? Have you ever gone anywhere where there's a movie star or some big shot and people throw their coats down? I've never seen it. But back in the day, that was a huge deal. Others, they threw palm branches down, cut them off the trees, and laid them out. In Israel's history, palm branches meant something then, okay? In David's time, it signified royalty. It was an honor, and it was a triumphant thing. It was a victor's sign. There was great excitement in the air. Nobody was really in agreement, but lots was going on. There's a deeper meaning with the palm branches, too. I'm told that palm branches take they take 30 years to mature and to be able to produce fruit. Okay? So at that time, no one could be a high priest until they were at least 30 years old. When did Jesus start his public ministry? He was how old? 30, right? I wasn't there, but that's what they tell me. So Jesus, for these people, it's starting to click for some of them that this is the high priest. As for the clothing laid down, many were placing prayer shawls. They're called tallits. Okay? These are seamless garments. They're four corners. There's a tassel attached to each corner. Its purpose with the tassels on the four corners is to remind the people to obey God's commands. It's a powerful symbol to them, but it gets better. Upon the collar of the garment, written in Hebrew letters, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, folks, that's what's on the Jewish tallit of that time. It is a symbolic reminder of the promised Messiah to come. So guess what? Them laying these tallits down in the path of Jesus, there are people that it's clicking, and they're saying, oh my gosh, this is the Messiah, the high priest, this is the king. As we prepare at this Thanksgiving holiday time, it is really important that we take some time. Yes, we have to travel, some of us, a busy schedule, a time for food preparations and gatherings, but it is essential that we think for a few moments about our view of Jesus Christ. We've been looking at their view, and it's varied. It's essential that we examine our heart and consider who we have allowed Jesus to be in our life. Some of us are perhaps at the back of the crowd, on the periphery of the celebration of his initial earthly coming. Some of us wear skeptical glasses. We've heard the stories about Jesus, but we haven't bought into it at all. If we had been in Jerusalem back in the day, we'd have been with those saying, I don't want any of that. We would have scoffed and loathed this strange sight, a poor itinerant preacher riding a poor man's beast of burden. And still there are those here who would react like King David back in the day when the Ark of the Covenant first was being brought to a temporary place. It had been moved several times. But then eventually was being moved to Jerusalem. And David and so many others, they danced and they played the lyre and there was music. The Ark of the Covenant was the symbol of God's presence itself. And there are people today that react that way with Jesus. So we have the gamut. But no matter where you are with Jesus tonight, there is hope, and you can find a place of thanksgiving this holiday season. If you have found yourself far off from God, perhaps even holding bitterness and hate in your heart, your life can change. It did for Nicodemus. For Joseph of Arimathea, and actually eventually for several of the Sanhedrin, the people who ultimately had Jesus crucified. Saul, who became Paul, is a good example of that. Your life, as theirs, can change. If you're a doubting Thomas or a skeptical Nathaniel, yes, your life can change, just as theirs did when they encountered the incarnate Son of God. And you too can develop a life of great faith. Because guess what? Jesus, it says in the book of Hebrews, is the author and perfecter of our faith. We don't generate it. We don't make it happen. The almost 50 years that I've talked about knowing God and going through struggle, it wasn't like I got all pumped up. In fact, it's just the opposite. The longer I go, the less I have input, really, into how Jesus does things. But it is in that freeing, in that letting go, that he does his greatest work in us. So know that there is hope. And if you're brash, if you're restless, if you're impulsive, perhaps tempestuous like the Apostle Peter, your life can change as well. You too can be a pillar in the community where God places you. In wrapping it up, Thanksgiving is upon us, and it is a time to look anew and afresh to that rock from which we were hewn, Jesus. It is a time to recognize that his great love and grace towards us, it is all around us. And so, like those crowds of a couple thousand years ago that were greeting Jesus as the Messiah, let's shout out, Hosanna in the highest. Can you do that with me? Hosanna in the highest. Can you imagine what that was like with tens of thousands of people? Glory to God. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you truly are the Messiah. You are the King. You are the prophet. You are everything for us. And you take us right where we are. Open our hearts. And let the sharing of what you have been doing be fruitful for your kingdom. Amen.